Jaquan and NSK on 102.9.
That's right, it's music by Rihanna. Cheers, drink to that, because, I mean, damn it, why not? It's weekend. Thank you so much for choosing us. We appreciate it. You know what we do every single Friday. We bring in superstars. We bring in potential superstars. We bring in the talent. We bring in the controversial. We bring in the people that some hate to love and love to hate. We bring in people that we gossip about. And today... We're speaking to an aspiring and inspiring interior designer, architectural technologist, philanthropist, and an NGO founder. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, young and old, non-conforming, please help us welcome Romancia Sabers.
Osiquis, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How
good,
are you?
Good. How has the week been for you?
Ugh. Hectic
yeah, as always. There's a lot going on, eh?
There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But well, welcome to Fresh Breakfast. We are so happy to have you here. And also because, you know, the girlies are so busy. The schedules are still very tight.
Yes,
but
yes,
we appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah. And I forgot to mention also Miss Namibia contestant, the prelims, rather, sorry, right now. So, yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. The girlies are fine. Finalist.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you feeling about it? How has the journey been so far?
Pressure-filled.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've done other pageants before, right?
Yes.
But not the same level of pressure.
No. I haven't experienced this much pressure before.
Yeah. Well, who is Romancia, dude? Like, I mean, where is hometown? Where is high school? Who's the ex-boyfriend?
Hey, you know
everything.
Everything. Okay, I'm not so sure about everything.
Can we say ex-boyfriend that you're still friends with?
You know,
you guys are cordial.
No,
we're playing.
I'm just joking.
We're playing. Talk to us about the hometown and just like your schooling journey.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Okay, hometown Windhoek. Schooled at Delta. Delta actually inspired my love for languages because that's where I started off with German.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I got to learn all the other languages.
Yeah,
that
you
I know.
Speak around about what, seven? How many?
Ten.
Ten.
Yes.
You
yeah.
Speak ten languages.
Yeah. Yeah. Please entice him. Which ones you speak?
Yeah. Wait a minute. So it's German, obviously Afrikaans, English,
Damara.
Portuguese?
Or yes, Portuguese.
Yeah.
French, Spanish, Italian, Dutch,
Japanese,
and Turkish, and I read and write Japanese.
Yeah. Did you learn that online?
Most of it.
Most of it, yeah. You know that they're... Oh, okay. He's taking it in.
You speak Turkish.
Let it marinate.
And, yeah. And you read and write Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you speak Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... And this is all on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up in a trilingual family.
Okay.
So I grew up speaking Damara, English, and Afrikaans at home.
Yeah.
And then German, obviously, at school.
Yeah.
And the rest I learned by myself.
Mm. But where did the love and interest for languages come from, though?
The way it shaped my thinking. When I learned German, I realized that I thought differently, I felt differently, and I spoke differently, and I loved it. And so I explored it with Spanish afterwards,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, whoa, I'm seeing new horizons here. I'm seeing life in a whole different spectrum. So
yeah.
I went on learning the other languages, and it was just the same experience. I loved it, so
yeah.
I didn't stop.
Oh, okay.
Someone once mentioned to me that every language that you learn apparently unlocks a different personality in you.
Yes,
is that the case with you?
Yes,
I've heard of that before.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Damn.
That is incredible.
Are we good? Have we taken it in?
I've taken it in.
yeah. All
so,
right.
This is now the whole of Delta grade 1 to 12, I guess.
No, I started grade 10 to 12 at Delta. So I had to catch up with the grade 8s that started in my 10th year. So that's why I pressured myself to learn German. So I got fluent pretty fast. And I could converse well with the others. So
Now, where did the love for pageantry start? Was it at school itself or like in the community?
Yeah.
You know those Miss Church, Miss Sonntag School.
No, it was never that. So my pageantry journey actually started last year.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And my reason for modeling is actually quite spiritual. Mm. So there was a deep praise and worship session that I had, right? And just randomly I started like modeling. Like I was compelled by the Holy Spirit and I didn't have much control over my body. Mm. And I just started modeling and I was like, whoa, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I was twirling and like all of that. And I was like, okay, I guess God is trying to tell me something. And so I applied for my first pageant, which was Miss PST Bet.
Mm-hmm.
Last year.
Yeah. Okay.
And so from there, I did Miss NGO and then I did Miss Africa Golden in Nigeria.
In Nigeria, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, those were just the three pageants and now Miss Namibia.
Yeah, but you know what? Being like on a really big, obviously national platform like Miss Namibia itself, like, you know, obviously when you look at all the other girls, not to necessarily put you in a space where you know, sort of like comparing yourself to the other girls, not that, but just, you know, do you feel confident enough, especially with girls that probably have more experience than you? Has the training that Miss Namibia has provided thus far, like, you know, has it also just boosted your confidence in the process?
Yes, for sure. It has. The training has been quite intense. Almost every day we're training. So that definitely has helped polish what needed polishing.
That's fantastic.
But yes, definitely comparison is one of the things I've been battling with. So you see all these pretty girls that
Yeah. Thank you. Almost.
So learning to, you know, just focus on myself and my walk with God and know that I am putting in my all, giving it my best shot, and that is enough.
Let me tell you, our partner, why this moment means quite a lot. So Romansha and I met last year. I told you this off air when we did the pilot for one of the shows that we were shooting at One Africa, right? And she was obviously on the panel and so forth, speaking for the youth, you know, most in those things. Then obviously, you know, started following each other on social media and stuff like that. And the other day we had a conversation that just really warmed my heart so much. So everyone knows at this point that my boys are autistic, right? And it's a diagnosis that I struggled with for so long because I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to, you know, just be there for them and see them through life. Are they ever really gonna, you know, just be like normal kids and whatever? Here sits Romansha, who's also on the spectrum and has autism.
What?
And OCD.
Yes. So, you know, the doctors keep telling me, specialists that I see till today, the kids see the world differently, but they also process the world faster than the normal person. That's why when you see like the show The Doctor on Netflix, when you see The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon, for example, those are autistic kids, that how smart they are.
Yeah.
But for me as a parent, first time, and I'm also just learning, I'm like, okay, but is it ever really going to get there? And I see this woman.
When were you diagnosed? Yeah. Did you notice? Did your parents notice from the get-go? Or was this like in your teens?
No,
or?
It was something I discovered last year. So only I did last some year, bro. Assessments.
Yeah, a lot of people are being diagnosed the older that they get. But how did you receive the diagnosis? Yeah.
It made a lot of sense. I was like, okay, now I get it. So growing up, navigating life on the spectrum was quite challenging because you don't know what's going on and the adults around you and your peers don't quite understand why you perceive certain things the way you do or why you act the way you do in certain social setups and all of that. So growing up was tough, but it all makes sense. It all makes sense growing up, and it still is difficult sometimes. I still don't understand myself, but it's a continuous journey of self-love and acceptance, and I understand what it's like to be misunderstood and misrepresented, and that's also why I founded my NGO, which is Neuro Bureau. We basically aim to raise awareness around neurodiversity and to appreciate and celebrate neurodiverse individuals.
The other stuff that you do, does it help you cope with your condition? The interior designing and the architectural work that you do, does it sort of kind of help you just navigate life?
Yes, creativity is a great outlet So anything artistic just helps me find my release and expression, which is quite important. As an autistic individual, or rather, I speak for all autistic people, we tend to focus down on specific topics, you know. So for me, it's languages, I suppose, and that's why I get to be as good as I am in it, because there's so much focus and attention and energy that goes into that one specific thing. So I also worked at DHPS as a facilitator for autistic children. Watching those kids, just how they deal with things, how they concentrate in class, and how they respond in social setups was quite interesting. That's where I actually started my assessments, because I was like, I relate to this, though. Like a child would just randomly stand up in class while a teacher is teaching and like scream or start dancing. And I was like,
You sort of wish that you had that when you were
that age, understanding.
Oh, then that support.
Yes.
Is there, because I'm a little unfamiliar with the subject matter of autism, right? Is there a certain stigma to it? Like in the community, is there a certain stigma to it?
Yeah, there is.
Uh-huh. For sure.
And you felt it? Yeah. Are you still feeling it even after coming out and owning it?
Yes. So people look at you weird, like, I don't know, like...
Yeah.
Because they don't necessarily understand.
Yes.
The example that I can give you is like, you know, when you watch Sheldon.
Yeah.
When we were first introduced to the character of Sheldon, all of us were like, hey, man.
I just looked at him as a
what do you mean?
Yeah. I just looked at him as someone I can give my homework to do for me. And then,
stop it.
That's one of the stigmas.
That's one of the stigmas, because like they actually, they do. But it's, I think that was like the first introduction. But there is quite a lot of stigma. But now that you positively talking about it and owning it as much as you have, has the response been different, or like how people receive you? Like if you meet people like for the first time that you're like you're meeting in SK and you say it, like, do they receive you positively now?
I wouldn't say there's much difference in how they receive me.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a, they just think it's like, she has ADHD. You know, people loosely use the terms like, I have ADHD, or I'm a neat freak. I have OCD.
Yeah.
So I think there isn't still a level of understanding around it, and awareness needs to be raised. More awareness, so that people really understand that it's not really a retardation, so to say, but it's more of just a perception. I feel like people who are neurodiverse actually have that as a superpower. You know, their minds allow them to navigate life quite differently, which puts them at an advantage in certain areas, like creativity, for example, or math. We have so a lot of greats in the past also were neurodiverse, like you have Tesla and even Einstein.
I mean, it could never be a retardation. I mean, you're out here with 10 languages. 10 languages.
What do you mean?
Oh, my word.
Whole architect, ma'am.
Italian. Wow. 9:23. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. Romance and Sabres is in studio.
Ah, so many recipes.
Shaquan and NSK on 102.9.
It's 9:26 on Namibia's Art and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. We appreciate it. We are talking to an awe-aspiring, inspiring human being right now, someone that is sharing her incredible story. At her young age, she knows exactly what she is, and she is not shy to admit that her work is still not done. She's still trying to get to know herself. She's an inspiring interior designer, architectural technologist, philanthropist, as well as an NGO founder. We're talking to Romancia Sabres. Now, Osiris Romancia, let's talk about the philanthropy part of side to you, right? Is this now combined with the NGO, or what's your focus when it comes to your philanthropic work?
Okay, so Neuro Bureau aims to raise awareness around neurodiversity, specifically through art as a powerful tool to advocate, educate, and remedy. While creating safe environments and spaces for people in the neurodiverse community to thrive and belong. So a recent project, a current project that I'm working on is with COTA in College of the Arts, the Katitura
KCAC.
Brand.
KCAC, yeah.
Yes. So we're working on painting the entrance wall. And I've got...
Yeah, it needs a facelift. Yes, it needs a facelift. Yeah.
So I got some artistic students from Acacia High School.
Nice.
Also youth empowerment. So just getting the kids to, you know, draw something meaningful. Mm. So the theme is Many Minds, One Symphony.
Okay.
So it just speaks to how they are... The world is full of different minds and different ideas and all of that. And when we bring that together, it creates this beautiful symphony.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, this music piece.
Yeah.
And it was inspired by the quote by Audre Lorde that it's not our differences that divide us, but it's our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate them.
Mm. Wow. And you know what? I think I just really want to know. What is your house name? Sorry. Yeah, the mic is on. She has to tell us. She has to tell us.
I was not expecting that. Okay, so my house name is Mumu.
Mumu. Yeah.
Okay, so Mumu. The reason I'm asking also is when you think back to Mumu growing up, at your grandmother's house, with your grandfather, your auntie, your mom, or whatever it is, when you have to look back to the young girl that you were and looking at everything that you've achieved in your life and where you are right now, also inspiring the next generation, what is the one thing that you're most proud of with everything that you've achieved? Did you think that Mumu was ever going to get to where she is? Did you think that she was going to be a day away from prelims with Miss Namibia one day?
No, modeling was never part of the plan. But growing up, I would say it's my mental resilience that brought me to where I am and that I'm most proud of, because I learned to navigate life by myself, you know, and overcome these differences and all this resistance from society. And even family members didn't understand me. So I always felt like a misfit, like I didn't quite belong.
Mm.
And so it was quite lonely. But I learned to be there for myself. Mm. And even now, in the times when it gets lonely, I just remember that from Mumu, I transcended to Phoenix. So now I identify with a Phoenix. So rising from the ashes.
Yeah,
from the ashes. So yes, the fires and the trials of life do come. And Yahshua, I do incinerate and become ash, but I always rise from them. Mm. And that's what I'm most proud of.
Mm. Yeah. What do you want to be remembered by?
The girl that strove for excellence in everything that she did. Mm. Yeah. That's how I want to be remembered. And I think that's why I've also done a lot of everything.
Mm-mm.
Is to really push my limits and see where I really can give my all.
Yeah.
And know that at the end of the day, I have tried it all. And if I haven't managed in life, it's not because I didn't do it.
You didn't try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't try.
Mm.
So tomorrow prelims, what's the plan, dude? What's the plan? What's the vibe? What's the call? What's the situation? The level is weird.
I hate that I can't say that call word.
Call.
Yeah.
That's all.
What does it even mean?
I don't know. It's just slang that these kids use today, bruh. You know what I mean?
Like when
the vibes are
vibing.
I've got three likes, bruh. So
like, what's the call?
Yeah, what's the call? What's the level?
Oh, what's happening? Yeah. Sure. I'm just fighting not to be killed by Stanley tomorrow.
Yeah. Stanley who? Marika?
Yes.
It's his cousin.
That's my cousin, by the way. Yeah. So the work rate, the excellence, the craziness. Yeah,
Stanley
level.
So Stanley, our choreographer. Yeah. Has really been pushing for this thing to really be perfect, to, you know, be of the best caliber.
Yeah.
And we really all are pushing. There's a lot of pressure around that. But I would say I'm excited for prelims tomorrow. I know that we all have really pushed and we have put our best foot forward.
Yeah.
And tomorrow it's just a matter of, you know, having fun.
Yeah,
that's the aim. That's the goal.
Yeah, that's the goal.
That's the goal. Yeah, I can't say it. I'm so lame.
No, you see, one thing about me, you see Stanley Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? Everything that you've experienced, that is my DNA. We like winning. Mm-hmm. We like being number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you done your mental work at the possibility of losing tomorrow?
At the end of the day, it is a competition. Mm. And I think it's only fair to really understand from the get-go that you could lose this thing.
Yeah.
And as much as you do the work and you believe in yourself, it is a competition. And sometimes it does happen that you're not exactly what they're looking for. So, yes, I have made my peace, and I think that's what also allows me to really have fun with it. Because I've also made my peace with, like, if I win, this is what needs to be done. The pressure is just gonna build.
Yeah.
The expectation is also gonna build, and you know, I have also kind of prepared myself for the win and the lose. So, not the lose, so to say, because at the end of the day, as cliche as it sounds, I do walk away a winner, you know.
100%.
I've really grown in this short time period that I've been with Miss Namibia, and the trials have really shown me like how I am under pressure, and
And sometimes you need that. And sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need that. A change in environment, you know, to be challenged outside your comfort, to see what type of person you become when you're in a pressure cooker. You know, who is Romancia actually?
Yeah, what comes out.
Mm. Exactly. Because on a daily, we don't necessarily put ourselves under pressure like that. You know what I mean? But here's this challenge. Here's this thing now that you have to do. So what's up? Are you going to swim or lick it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you found your soul in this aspect now.
Yes.
No, that makes us happy.
No, absolutely, man. Yeah. And you know what? Because we're running a little bit out of time. I think in his case, just like having too much fun. I think he even forgot. But here's the thing, man. Romancia, we wanted to celebrate you today because your courage has really, really stood out. You are being authentic. You are being yourself. You're being genuine. The reason why you're doing it, the course at the core of your heart, like we resonate with that, man. So we celebrate you and we wish you nothing but the best. And it's true. You are going to be walking away as a warrior and as a winner, regardless of what happens tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Romancia Sabers, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much once again, Romancia, for making time for us.
Thank you for having me. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
I love the chat.
Right?
There we go. It's 9:37 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. When we get back, we hear from Paula, who is on the ground at the studio graduation ceremony.